This is DomesticPreparedness.com. Since 1998, Domestic Preparedness has been a source of solutions for the professional preparedness community. Your host today is the managing editor, John Morgan.
We're with Courtney Banks, the vice president for Raytheon's Homeland Security Strategic Business Area. In 2005, she came to Raytheon with a project expertise that covers the waterfront, from combating terrorism to crisis planning, prevention and response, consequence management, and corporate security. Prior to joining Raytheon, she was the director of Homeland Systems Solutions for Lockheed Martin Systems Management. Prior to that, she was the National Security Consultant to the federal government and several private corporations. During the Clinton administration, she served in the Pentagon Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations Low-Intensity Conflict, or SOLIC, where she was the assistant in charge of global terrorism issues. She was also the program manager for the Terrorism Response Awareness Program. Ms. Banks, thank you for your time today. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Raytheon. We know that Raytheon is one of the nation's biggest and most renowned defense companies, and now it's playing a role in homeland defense and homeland security. Now, is that a tactical or a strategic move, would you say?
Well, it's both, John. Raytheon has a long history of being in the national security solutions business. We have 80-plus years of heritage as that sort of provider. As well, we've leveraged all of our extensive technical background. Raytheon has always been known as a technology provider, and we have a strong offering in services. So we've leveraged both the heritage in technology and services to move forward in continuing our role as a national security solutions provider. Mm-hmm. I would say that Raytheon's been in the strategic and tactical national security business since our inception.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know your group is titled Homeland Security, but as a company, does Raytheon make any distinction between Homeland Security and Homeland Defense?
Yes, we are acutely aware of that distinction. Not only are they different entities, they have different decision makers, different cultures, different acronyms, different use of force, different constitutional laws apply. Mm-hmm. We have a group in Raytheon Homeland Security that's set up to deal just with Homeland Defense, which is obviously a clear distinction between Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we are acutely aware of it. We have a whole group set up to deal with it, and it's led by a director who reports to me.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, that director is an Iraqi war veteran who is a West Point grad, who has become sort of an expert on counter IEDs and has a lot of experience dealing with the military and military operations and urban terrain and IEDs, some of the challenges that Homeland Defense in the United States may be facing in the future.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Now, Raytheon Homeland Security is a strategic business area, not a product line. Is that right?
Raytheon Homeland Security is a strategic business area. That is correct. We cross the entire corporation. So we are the one Raytheon entity for Homeland Security and Homeland Defense in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, Raytheon aspires to be worldwide in its total systems, national security solutions, as a provider. Now, tell us exactly what that means to you.
Well, I think there's a difference between being global and being international. We are international and global. We are located in many countries around the world, everywhere from Singapore to England. So we have a global presence, but we work for allied governments as well as our own, which makes us international. So I think that the combination of the two certainly characterizes Raytheon as worldwide.
So what are Raytheon's current and near-term homeland security capabilities and resources that your strategic business area is integrating, and from where are you drawing them?
Well, I can talk about some of the highlights of the technologies and services that we are currently integrating, and we draw them from across the entire corporation, John.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Personal Authentication Device, or PAD. It's a first-of-its-kind personal identification system. It protects and facilitates entry and exit to our nation's key checkpoints, or any nation's checkpoints. It uses a two-way UHF and biometrics capability to automatically identify into a credit card-sized identity card and relay system. And the card can be read up to 30 feet away at approximately 60 miles per hour. We also have the Electronic Incident Command System, which we call E.ICS. It replaces the old white planning boards with electronic incident planning and sharing system. And the Fire Department of New York is using it. We were instrumental in working in support of that customer post 911 to solve one of the problems that caused great difficulty on 911, which is obviously when the buildings collapsed, the planning boards were destroyed, so it was much harder to keep track of what fire houses had gone into the buildings and who had responded to what building. This system fixes that problem. We have an emergency patient tracking system, EPTS. Again, this is first responder oriented. It facilitates triage, treatment, and transport of victims during mass casualty incidents, and really helps facilitate the first responders in the event of that sort of attack. We have the Mobile Enhanced Situational Awareness, MESA, system. It provides improved command and control, situational awareness, and a common operating picture to public safety officials. So it lets commanders know where their key responders are located. And again, kind of summing up a preparedness perspective of some of the things that we've been working on, we have currently ongoing the Quad Cities pilot. It's a six-month Raytheon-funded pilot, which provides integrated networked communications for first responders and public safety officials in six cities in Iowa and Illinois. And this provides access to critical information, helps manage emergency incidents safely and effectively. And some of the things that it's doing is working with MESA and PAD and E.ICS and EPTS. So that's an example of one of the areas that we are integrating across the corporation.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, in addition to the Quad Cities pilot with Iowa and Illinois, can you tell us who some of the key or emerging Homeland Security and Homeland Defense customers you have that you're leveraging domestically?
Well, certainly we support just about every entity in the U.S. Federal government that has a Homeland Security or Homeland Defense mission. In particular, we support the Coast Guard and Customs and Border Protection, TSA, DHS Science and Technology, the DNDO, Domestic Nuclear Detection Office, FEMA. So I think that, to be candid with you, Raytheon being a mission systems integrator really has, you know, a history with a lot of the, at least federal players in this market that is quite considerable.
Now, worldwide, you mentioned the UK and Singapore. I guess we're talking things like border security, visitor management, crisis management response, coastal surveillance, special event security, and counterproliferation. What do you have in place now, and what are you developing for your worldwide customers?
Certainly, we are big in border security. We have the protection of the Amazon rainforest, and that's called SIVAM. S-I-V-A-M. We are big into visitor management. We've been down selected to the final two for UK e-borders. We are very engaged as well with coastal surveillance. We have a coastal surveillance system for Romania. We've been doing counterproliferation work in the former Soviet Union and the Ukraine in support of the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. We are working in support of our business units right now who are engaged in talking to the Olympics customers in both the UK and Canada. So I think our range of offerings and what we are developing is quite broad.
Well, let's run down the market segments which you yourself formed after you came aboard here at Raytheon. First, transportation and border security. Tell us what you have moving there. You've already identified some.
Yes. Well, in the terms of transportation and border security, you get into the various modes, first of all, as you relate to transportation. So when you look at aviation security, for example, we do everything from our Vigilant Eagle program, which is a ground-based counterman pads solution, to the screening partnership program, where we provide the training and actual privatization of airport screeners. We do perimeter intrusion detection security systems for the protection of airports. We have PIDS, which is literally the perimeter intrusion detection system for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey for four major airports there. We have rail and freight security programs. We recently won a rail security study. We are doing a lot with not only coastal surveillance, but maritime domain awareness as it relates to port security. We also have the Advanced Spectroscopic Portal, which deals with border security, which is the radiation portal monitors for DHS. So I think that you can see we have a lot of programs, tools, and services that we are bringing into that market arena. So it's a very big focus for us.
Okay. Let's talk now about the law enforcement and security solutions.
Law enforcement and security solutions is a key component of what Raytheon does in Homeland Security. Obviously, many of the Homeland Security customers and decision makers are federal law enforcement, you know, either current or former 1811s, you know, officers who carried a gun and a badge at the federal level. In fact, Raytheon employs some former 1811s to help us give us insight into their culture and their perspective. Because our focus is more than defense. It is defense and law enforcement and homeland security and combating terrorism. So we have been very careful not only to listen and engage with our customers, but to seek their perspective internal to the company. We do everything from law enforcement training to provide see-through-the-wall technology to sniper locator technology. We do vehicle stopper. We have the ACU 1000, which ties together communication networks. We have RFID tracking, tagging, and locating systems. We provide non-lethal technology, continuity of operations planning, evacuation planning, critical incident response work, intelligence analysis in support of not only law enforcement but security services. So it's a very deep area for us in terms of our expertise and our technological and service offerings.
Now, you're also active in infrastructure protection and energy security. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, critical infrastructure protection is certainly the responsibility of any national security provider in today's world, with the majority of the assets being in the hands of the private sector. Not only does Raytheon support the federal government in this area, but we work in combination with, you know, our sister companies to provide solutions to the marketplace, both federal, state, local, and commercial. We have everything from the STAT tool, which is a train analysis tool, which you know, assists in the protection of energy assets, to sensors that deal with perimeter intrusion, as I discussed earlier. We do vulnerability assessments. We have technology and sensors that address VC Burney spectrum, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive. We're providing enormous support to the government's effort to secure the former Soviet Union's nuclear stockpiles. We also have oil platform security. We have an air interdiction system that helps with the protection of critical national assets. We have hazardous materials and device that is a countermeasure device. So we cover a lot of aspects of the energy spectrum and certainly critical infrastructure protection.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked a little bit about the intelligence area. Tell us a little bit about the Homeland Defense side and the intelligence program support that Raytheon provides.
Well, first, we design, integrate, and provide support to intelligence fusion and counterterrorism centers, both in the United States and with our allies. We support information sharing, multi-level security. We have knowledge management and discovery systems that are Raytheon proprietary that are embedded in many of our programs. We make intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, ISR programs smart by providing sensors, radar, EO, IR, SIGINT, and ground processing exploitation. We have unmanned aerial systems, sensors, and a universal control system for that, including the Predator Operations Center. We have a big focus on anti-terrorism and force protection. In fact, we have a joint force protection enterprise campaign right now at the corporate level where we are working on a one Raytheon approach to assisting Homeland Defense in the anti-terrorism force protection area. We are involved heavily in a counter IED campaign. We are developing next generation non-lethal weapons. We do enormous amount of counterproliferation, which I have discussed, including the CITRIC contract, which is the Cooperative Threat Reduction Integration Contract. We do continuity of operations or COOP planning. We provide assured communications at the DoD, federal, state, and local levels to include the JPS switch. We have defense critical infrastructure protection offerings to include threat and vulnerability assessments, as well as sector decision support tools. And we provide training and mission rehearsal support via distributed mission operations. And we have a Red Wolf audio collection system, which has been supplied to the federal, state, Homeland Defense, and also law enforcement communities for over 15 years.
I know this combating terrorism and special operations support is an area that draws upon your background. Tell us a little bit about what you all are doing there.
Yes, that is true. It does draw upon my background. We have a very strong offering in supporting not only the warfighter, but special operations warfighter and combating terrorism, both at home and abroad. In fact, the director who runs that division for the corporation comes out of the same office I did. He comes out of Solik and is a retired Army Special Forces aviator. So we have a stakeholder running that aspect of our corporation who reports to me. And, of course, we do everything from, again, see-through-the-walls technology to training in support of special operators to surveillance and dissemination systems, specialized breaching and weapon systems, tagging and tracking systems, identification and security systems. We have a huge offering in the counter-narcotics arena where we do everything from logistics to training to specialized analysis. Quite a big list.
Let me go back to something you mentioned earlier before we wind up. The point that's often made is that integration is key when it comes to systems for airport and port security. And as you know, we've been in to talk several times with Vale Oxford at the Domestic Nuclear Detection Office. And the one subject that comes up right away when we talk about countering the CBRNE threat is the ASP, the Advanced Spectroscopic Portal, which you mentioned. Drill down a little bit deeper and tell us a little bit about the Raytheon ACSP, the ASP, and how you're applying an integration strategy there.
Sure. ASP, or the Advanced Spectroscopic Portal, is an advanced nuclear screening portal system designed to identify and interdict the illegal entry of nuclear devices and materials into the United States. The system has enormous benefits to include being a critical defense tool for the Department of Homeland Security and the Domestic Nuclear Detection Office. It senses nuclear materials at various points of entry into the United States, as well as other locations, such as domestic checkpoints and rail lines. It's capable of screening cars, trucks, cargo containers, and mail. It has a modular architecture, which allows systems to be mounted in several configurations. As multiple detector types ensure high gamma and neutron sensitivity over a full range of usage conditions. It's designed to minimize false alarms that would unnecessarily impede the flow of border traffic and commerce, which we all know is very important. Mm-hmm. And the system incorporates advanced threat identification algorithms as well. So it's a very sophisticated, very important system for Homeland Security.
Well, this past autumn, I helped set up a NATO conference in Madrid on counter-IED technologies. And as you said, Raytheon is working in this area. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing specifically and whether you see your work as having a domestic non-military application, i.e. for the first responder community.
Well, John, Raytheon is fully committed to finding solutions to the IED problem. We have formed a company-wide task force led by a vice president to address this issue. We are working with our customers to rapidly develop counter-IED capabilities. We're certainly putting our very best minds on this critical need, but we can't comment further because we have operational security to maintain.
Okay. Before we go, I'd like to know a little bit more about your team. I hear it's very well represented by folks from a wide spectrum of the Homeland Security community, and you mentioned some of the sources where these folks came from. Can you give us who some of your leading lights are and what they were doing before they came to Raytheon?
Well, we have Tim Josiah, who is my deputy here at Raytheon Homeland Security. Tim is retired Vice Admiral and former Chief of Staff of the United States Coast Guard. He is an outstanding contributor to the Raytheon community and has a storied and very distinguished career supporting our nation. So we're very happy to have him as a key member of our team. We have Danny Snow. He'll not be happy I called him Danny. He prefers Dan. We have Dan Snow. He is retired U.S. Secret Service. His last assignment when he was in the service was Special Agent in Charge of the Counterfeit Division. He also was on the Presidential Protective Detail. He also was on the Counter-Assault Team for the Secret Service. So you can see he has a wide range of expertise that varies from financial crimes and counterfeit to protective operations. And he is director of our security, law enforcement and security solutions area. Mm-hmm. We have retired Lieutenant Colonel Rudy Cohen, who is a, as I mentioned before, U.S. Army Special Forces pilot, who was a stakeholder in the interagency combating terrorism community. And Rudy runs our combating terrorism and special operations support area. Mm-hmm. We have Charlie Blach, who runs preparedness and response for the Homeland Security Strategic Business Area. Charlie is a retired deputy fire chief from New York City and was on duty on 911 and did respond to the incident. He brings a unique perspective to the table. Some of the other key contributors to the Raytheon Homeland Security team are not on the Strategic Business Area team, but they are in the businesses. A good example of this would be Frank Larkin, who works for our network-centric solutions business. Frank is retired Secret Service. He was, in his last job, the Chief Technology Officer of the U.S. Secret Service. We have Lexi Alexander at Raytheon Technical Services Company. She's Director of Homeland Security Services there, and she has a distinguished career on the preparedness and response side of the house. She had many years supporting FEMA and the Office of Domestic Preparedness and the Office of Justice Programs prior to that, as well as SOLIC. As well, we have some consultants who support the Homeland effort at Raytheon, and they include John McKelney, who is former Deputy Director of the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. Prior to that, he was Deputy Assistant Director of U.S. Secret Service. We have Dan Benjamin, who's former Director of Transnational Threats for the National Security Council. Parnie Albright, Dr. Parnie Albright, also supports us, who is a distinguished stakeholder in the Department of Homeland Security. So you can see we have a very robust team of professionals who bring disparate points of view to bear so that Raytheon can be educated in various aspects of the market.
Well, Ms. Banks, this has been most informative. Thank you and Raytheon for your time, and thank you especially for your service to our country.
Well, thank you, John. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you again.
This has been a Domestic Preparedness podcast interview. Thank you for listening.